Well, again, Merry Christmas. We are here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we've almost made it to Christmas Day, and while many of you might wait till tomorrow morning to give out gifts, I know that when I was a kid, we always had one tradition where you could open one present, and you got to choose from one relative, because the relatives all send the presents early, right? It'll come in the mail and everything. So you got to choose one present the night before, and you had to choose wisely. So you started thinking about, okay, that crazy aunt or that crazy uncle or whatever, who gives the best presents? And Christmas is a good time. I think it's a great tradition that we give presents to each other. Of course, you know, a lot of times it gets so wrapped up in commercialism that we can lose the entire sight, the reason for Christmas. But it's good to unwrap presents, and that's what we've been doing here at High Plains for the last 4 weeks. We've been unwrapping presents together, but not presents that we've given to each other. Presents that you discover as you journey towards Bethlehem, as you journey towards the manger. The arrival of Jesus, who really is the ultimate gift. But before we tear into the wrapping of another present here tonight, another gift, let me ask you just simply a question. What are you waiting for tonight? What is it in your life that you're waiting for? Maybe you're waiting for the delivery of a special gift. Maybe there's a package that's supposed to show up any moment here on a late FedEx delivery or something like that. Maybe in your life you're waiting for direction, or maybe it's healing as well. Maybe you're just waiting for me to stop talking so you can get out of here and get on with your Christmas family tradition. Or maybe it's just the craziness of the season. You're just waiting for it to be over, get life back to normal. Whatever it is that you're waiting for, let me encourage you for just the next few minutes, 25 or so minutes or something like that, to just watch and wait and maybe just gaze upon mentally, spiritually, upon Christmas, upon that manger, maybe a little bit deeper. Because what we're talking about here, folks, is the arrival of God into this universe and taking on the form of a human body. Just contemplate that for a moment. This isn't myth. This isn't fiction. I know people dismiss it, and they want to cast it aside, and that's the very difference between unbelief and faith. But that's the reality. At the church here, we've been spending the last 4 weeks going through the season of Advent, which a lot of us have heard of this before. It's a traditional season of the church calendar where the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, you spend time just, as we say here at High Plains, stop, take a deep breath, take a step back, and really look at week by week, what are we actually doing here? What are we actually contemplating? Because most scholars would agree that Jesus himself was not born on December 25th. And most would agree that Jesus wasn't born in the dead of winter as well. There's some speculation on whether it was next in the spring or later in the fall or something like that. But regardless, this is a time where the church, the Christian church worldwide, has decided to stop, take a pause, and really look at this season that's marked by expectation, by waiting, by anticipation, and by longing as well. And Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. Advent, really, I believe, is a season that links it all together, links together the past, the present, and the future. Advent gives us the opportunity to look back at this, we call it the ancient longing. The nation of Israel, God's people who were chosen by God, set aside by God for a very specific purpose, this ancient longing that they had for the coming Messiah. In the present, we can celebrate his birth. We are blessed to be able to, we have I call a rearward-looking faith. The birth of Christ has happened. The life of Christ has happened. And his crucifixion, death, and resurrection has happened. We can look back on that and celebrate that. But we can also, in the future, we can be alert because we know that God has given us this promise. Jesus said, I will come again. There will be a second coming of Jesus. He'll have a different role this time, he's told us. We could talk about that in another sermon. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of wrap up the last 4 weeks of what we've talked about, these four gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. All of these gifts that God brings as a byproduct of Jesus. So the first gift, quickly, that we'll unwrap is the gift of hope. We often think in our culture, in our modern day, we often think about hope as something that that has little or no chance of happening, right? Kind of like the Cubs winning the World Series, right? I mean, you want it to happen. It would be really cool, and I rooted for them just because I always root for the underdog. But what were the statistical chances of it actually happening? Pretty slim. Or winning the lottery, right? Go grab a big metal pole and stand out in the middle of the field during a rainstorm, and you're better off winning there, you know, than doing the lottery. But we often think about hope as something that's only in the future as well. But God's gift of hope is something that, again, is past, present, and future all at once. And this is hard, folks. This is hard for us to wrap our human natural minds around this supernatural aspect of God, that he would give us something that we can sink our teeth into and sink our hearts into, both past, present, but also in the future. Think back in your life, and maybe it's happening today. Think back in your life. What's the longest that you've ever waited for something? And maybe you're still waiting for it today. See, the people of Israel, they knew all about waiting. Their entire existence, their entire history was marked by waiting. For thousands and thousands of years, they waited and they longed to have God fulfill this promise. This promise that he would send a Messiah, a Savior, that would rescue them from their slavery, rescue them from their bondage. And the prophets all throughout the Old Testament, including Isaiah, we talked about this one Sunday, reminded the people all along the way, God has not forgotten you. He has not left you. And he's going to come through. Have faith. But as more and more time passed, the Israelites, some of them looked back at what Isaiah said, and they hung to that. They hung to that in hope. Isaiah chapter 9 said, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Hundreds of years before the actual event happened, God had a prophet, actually more than one, that predicted that this would happen, and it did. Now, the people of Israel, they could have, as they waited and waited and waited, they could have become very discouraged because year after year, they didn't see the fulfillment yet. They didn't see the Messiah. And I'm sure that many of them probably got discouraged as the generations would go on and generations would go on, yet still no Messiah. But others drew their hope from the future. And they drew their hope on the promise of God that this will happen. I will make sure that this is going to happen. We have the exact same choice today. The gift of hope reminds us of all of the promises that God has made and he's fulfilled. And folks, there are I don't know how many, hundreds of them. Let me let you in on a little secret. God has a 100% track record. His batting average is perfect. He has never not fulfilled any one of the promises that he's put out in his word. And there's other promises that are future promises that I know he will fulfill. But we have that hope. We can look back at these past promises and these prophecies and saying that, yes, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he came. And we can look back and we can gain great comfort in this. Because when you look back at this, you understand and you begin to see that God is actually really sovereign, that he was working all along, that he was in control the entire time. And even when it looked like the world would take a sideways turn or something, or you know, the Romans took control of everything or whatever, persecution. Sounds kind of familiar to today, doesn't it? But in that, understandably, and God knows, it's difficult to keep waiting. It's difficult to see or believe what's actually out in the future, if it's actually going to come true or not. As we reflect today on the hope of Christmas, I hope that you can look into your life and you can look back at God's faithfulness in your life. Times where he clearly was on display, where he clearly came through. The folks inside of High Plains know that I've only been back in the pulpit here for a few weeks, because most of November I was either in the hospital or at home under care there. I picked up something, some kind of virus or something, overseas on a missions trip on the way home, and it dang near killed me. I didn't think that during the, but lots of people decided to remind me of that after the fact, which was really comforting as well. But it's interesting how people really, I mean, their hearts are, I mean, like you say in the South, God bless them, you know, right? Their hearts are in the right place. But man, they remind you of some things like, geez, I didn't really need to hear that, but God bless you. That's one of the most recent ones. I'm sure you can look at your life at times, and maybe it's not a hospital thing or a sickness, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a job or a relationship or something, right, where God really shined through. We can look back, and we gain hope from that. Because you know what, folks? If you can look at one time in your life, and you can tell when God was there, and God was in control, and he was guiding, shaping, protecting you, whatever, that's a fingerprint. CSI God. There's a fingerprint on your life. And also, if you are a Christian here tonight, take that as a great encouragement and strengthen your faith that God and the Holy Spirit are alive and active and well inside of your life. Because if he was the God that the rest of the world would like to tell you, right, an uncaring God or the grumpy old God or the vengeful God or whatever, all the opinions of people who've never read the Bible before and certainly don't have faith, if he was that God, you would have no fingerprints of him on your life. None. For us, we look back at Christ's birth, and this season of Advent reminds us to wait. To wait for his second coming. He is coming again. The future is still in his control, and the future is still on our side. We look forward as Christians. We look forward to that time when everything will be made new again, when everything will be restored. We get to experience, and I think it's very purposeful, we get to experience the pain and suffering of today. And we get to wait in eager hope for the future when God is going to make everything right. He tells us right in his word in Revelation. John recalled this from a dream. That's why it's called Revelation. This is in the end. He said, "And he, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he, God, who sits on the throne, said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Man, take that to the bank. Anchor your hope in that. Regardless of what happens here in the world, regardless of the darkness that we see around us. Okay, that's great for the future, Mark, but what about today? What about the here and now, our present? In that very first chapter of Luke, the chapter right before I read from Luke chapter 2 to the kids. Luke chapter 1, Jesus' birth is foretold to Mary by the angel Gabriel. We talked about this at church a couple weeks ago. Think about how nice would it be if Gabriel would just show up in your life and just tell you what's going to happen? How much more comforting would that be? How easier would it be if you knew what to expect down the road? Would it be easier if you knew? Maybe. I really think that in this case with Mary, it was probably easier not to know exactly what was going to happen. If you were Mary, ladies, what do you do with the information that you just got? What do you do next? That the Messiah is coming, and it's coming through her. What would you do with that information? How would you handle it? Thankfully, Mary responded in faith. She held fast to that promise of hope, that promise of Emmanuel, God with us. She chose to believe the angel's message, and she chose to hope in what might seem impossible to some people, that the Messiah was coming. Because we now know, again, rearward-looking faith, we can look at the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus. We can have hope, real hope, not lottery hope, God hope, in our present, what's going on in our struggles, in our circumstances right here today. Now, our present hope, God never says, right? This isn't a health and wealth, gospel, you know, prosperity thing or anything like garbage like that, right? It doesn't say in the Bible that, well, if you believe, then all the storms of your life are going to go away, right? There's never going to be hard times. No, it doesn't. Hebrews chapter 6 describes this. It says that our hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The storms are going to go on. They're going to happen around us. Until that Revelation 21 day, when all things are made new again, the storms are going to happen. But what are we anchoring our life in? Where is our hope? If you're not familiar with anchors or ships, they're incredibly valuable, especially in a time of emergency. When the ship is being battered, when the ship is being pushed around by the wind and by the seas, you throw the anchor out to try and right the ship in the right direction so you don't perish, and you trust in that anchor. I pray that this season would be our, for all of us, would be our secure anchor of hope in this day, when no matter what storms are going on around us. God is always at work. He is sovereign. And he has, again, he's delivered on those promises of the past, folks. We can bank on that. So let's unwrap that next gift, the gift of love. If you've spent any time in a church at all, right, you've probably heard this verse before, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, because you're part of the world. And God says that, and that's why he sent his one and only Son. That's why he gave up his Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. What greater love is there than that? That's why we can accept, at face value, the love of God and understand that we can be made right in salvation, that our sins can be forgiven by him. And we can be brought into an eternal relationship with him, a relationship that goes way beyond anything we have here on earth. But this great love can easily be missed. There's so much around us that can distract us, especially during this holiday season, that can distract us from focusing in on this love. It's easy to look at the headlines and wonder if love will really overcome darkness in this world. I don't know if you've been tracking it much this week, but you know there was another, the intel boards and news agencies started rattling, right, with ISIS. ISIS putting out a worldwide, especially in America, in the North Americas, I should say, a call to attack Christians at churches on Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day. Right? The call went out. Is it credible? Yeah, you don't know, right? it was credible enough that it made it through all the nets of all the screens of intelligence that it actually made it out into the general public. Now, did that change anything here? Yeah. We made some changes for here for tonight. There are some different security measures in place. You can't see them. It's fine, right? But God is still sovereign. We still anchor, our hope is still anchored in Him. But when He brings some information to us that in our lives, do we just sit and let it go by, or do we overreact to it? I think a lot of times overreaction is a real question of, is God sovereign? But we don't want to be irresponsible as well. God says, put watchmen on the tower. And if the danger comes, make sure that watchman tells everybody else what's going on. But we wonder, can love really overcome the darkness in our world? It's easy to worry. It's easy to worry about tomorrow or next year. And it's easy to let that worry or that anxiety overwhelm us and start to control us. And that literally becomes our new God, our new religion. But it's important to remember here, again, going back to the truth of the word, God invites us to take all those cares, all those worries, all those concerns, and bring them to Him. He never says, oh, just ignore them. And He doesn't say ever, you have to clean up your life first in order to be worthy to come to the cross and be saved. In fact, what He says is surrender your life, everything. Bring all your baggage, all your stuff. Bring it all in a wheelbarrow if you need to. Bring it to Me. All your deepest hurts, all the pains that you have, surrender your life to Me, and that's when the love of God begins to fill somebody. And the good news is that the love that God gives through His Son, Jesus Christ, is enough. It's enough to carry you through your darkest times, all your doubts, any pain that you might have, and lead you to healing. I promise you that your body will be healed. I promise you. It's either going to be on this side of heaven or on that side of heaven. But eventually, someday, you will be healed. Someday, I know my body will be healed. But this love is fierce. It's powerful. Look at how Paul described it in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Because Jesus entered the world, because He was born as a baby in a manger on Christmas morning, whenever that was, we now can experience this love. And as God's love works through us, it transforms us. When a person becomes a Christian, Scripture says they are a new creature. The old is gone. And if you're a Christian, you have probably seen and can tell stories about either yourself or others who the people are completely different now that they're a Christian. Not that they're religious or not that they go to church every Sunday or not those kinds of things, right? They might talk differently. They used to be a drunk jerk, and now they're the most loving, caring person you've ever met. They used to be self-centered, and now they're everybody else-centered. They're new creatures. That's the cool thing about God's love. And here's the other really cool thing about God's love. God wants us to share that love. And the cool thing is that the more we share it, we don't end up with less. We actually end up with more. The more we share God's love, the more of God's love we end up with. It's a crazy thing. John described the process for us like this. He said, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins," or the payment of our sins. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." That's what we celebrate here at Christmas. This is one of the gifts that we get to experience. But the gifts don't stop there. The third gift we unwrap is the gift of joy. This is an interesting gift. It's a gigantic gift in a really small package. And it's much more than just a feeling. The coming of Jesus, just that event, just the coming of Jesus, creates a joy that causes us to celebrate. And in fact, it causes everything to celebrate. Look what it says in Psalms 96. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. All of creation is in joy, just simply at the birth of Jesus. But what if you don't feel joy this season? What if you're not joyful tonight? Because there's plenty of busyness and stress and darkness in this world that can rob the joy from us. There's people are, I call them joy suckers, right? You might know one or two, right? Just people that you're around, they're just like, just sucks the joy right out of you, right? You really don't want to be around joy suckers. It's hard. But how do you receive, this gift of joy, how do you receive it in the practicality of suffering each day, or maybe pain that you have? Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's grief, sorrow, or stress. Well, let's look just real quick at how we can recognize and anticipate this joy and actually choose it. There's a couple of characters in the Christmas story that show us the way when it comes to this. These were the shepherds out in the fields. They're a good example of anticipating joy. Now, initially, I will admit, they were probably unaware of really what was going on around them. They were punching the clock. They were in the field, watching over their flocks, doing the normal grind, right? And then all of a sudden, doosh, the sky lights up, right? And there's angels all throughout the sky. And they hear this message about the Messiah. Pretty unexpected stuff. But we know from God's word that they didn't immediately feel joy. They were scared when it first happened. Luke chapter 2, if you remember, we read this with the kids. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there was born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I think it's noteworthy to look at how the angel first addressed their fear and then moved beyond the fear to help them receive this message about Christ. This is like evangelism 101, folks. You want to share your testimony? You want to share it, right? Figure out, what are people afraid of? Address the fear and bring the message of the Savior, of the Messiah. And by the end of the night, those shepherds got it. It was clear to them, because later in verse 20, Luke wrote this: "The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." It can be hard to recognize or to find joy in our life sometimes, especially when it doesn't look exactly like we expect it to. Like, I would be joyful if this happened. We want to be free of worry and of hardship. But that's not accurate in God's world. James, the brother of Jesus, told us that joy is actually found in the midst of, and a lot of times directly because of, hard times. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." How do we do that? It's great to, you know, the Sunday school lesson or the Sunday sermon, but how do we do that? I think it's clear we need to choose joy. We need to choose joy through, Scripture says, through gratitude, giving thanks, in obedience, not to be religious or something like that, but loving Jesus by obeying his commands and continually abiding or being in Christ. And when we do this, we start opening ourselves up, our hearts up, to being transformed by God, by letting Him work through us. Really what we're doing is we're letting go of our own life, letting go of control of our own life. I'm not talking about the daily, you know, the chores that we have and I need to get to my job and be on time and, you know, do the work that I need to do. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about control. We're giving up control to be transformed by Him, and the result of that, God tells us, is joy. The fourth gift that we unwrap is the gift of peace. Peace is often defined as, you know, freedom or not having any worries or anxieties or you know, tranquility, something like that. But it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite of tranquility, where we recognize our real need for peace and the power of the peace that God provides. This is the world that Jesus came into. It was not a silent night that Jesus came into. The world was not at peace. There was a great divide between the people and God. There was a conflict between families and between nations. There was unrest in the people. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden shows up Jesus, also called the Prince of Peace. First and foremost, Jesus is peace with God. Jesus said, "I came to save lost sinners and to be the final sacrifice for our sins." Because He knew that He had to restore that relationship between us and God. Because way back in the beginning, when mankind decided that they could be as smart as God, we turned our backs on Him. And that's where the great divide started. And that's when the plan of redemption started by God. It didn't catch Him by surprise. He's sovereign. He knew what was going on. But He'd already had a plan in place to remedy that relationship and to bring us back to Him. Why? Because He loves us. We were separated from God in the very beginning, and we needed to be brought back to Him. That's why He sent Jesus with these gifts, with these offers, free of charge. Actually, I take that back. It costs one thing: faith. Faith is required. But when we do accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we also experience that peace here and now. It's not just a future thing. Speaking to the church in a place called Philippi, the Apostle Paul told them this. He said, "The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," all comprehension rather, different translation, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, the peace of God goes beyond understanding. And maybe there's some of you tonight that you don't even understand what peace might even look like. But it's something that Jesus brings with Him. And this peace for the Christian, it shows up in situations that naturally doesn't make sense why there'd be peace. And it holds us and it guides us through even our worst nightmares, our most stressful situations, the worst holidays. Peace can guide us through that because it's just like His love. It's strong and it's powerful. But we must remember, this isn't a feeling. This isn't some esoteric thing. God gave peace in the form of a man named Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Notice that it said that what it said there in that verse in Philippians, "The Lord is near." He is here with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and He offers that peace. As we arrive at Christmas Eve here tonight, we celebrate this supernatural miracle of a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. But we all of a sudden start to realize it's not primarily about hope or joy or love or peace. The gift primarily is Jesus Himself. Because all the other gifts, hope, joy, love, and peace, they all come from Him. Because Jesus is the hope bringer. Jesus is love come down from heaven. Jesus is the joy giver. And Jesus, only Jesus, is the peacemaker. I kind of chuckled this week when the whole flap went out about Donald Trump and Putin. You know, one guy says, I'm going to build up more nukes. And the other guy says he's going to build up more nukes. And then Trump comes back and says, well, we're going to keep building up nukes until the world comes to its senses and there's peace. And I chuckled as I'm going through this, preparing the sermon, like, it's going to come one day. The cool thing is, though, that Jesus came down and he seeks out a personal relationship with individuals. And he brings peace at the individual level. World peace will happen when Jesus comes again. We know that. You can read about it. As we have noted throughout the entire night, Jesus is this giver of gifts, this giver of eternal life and a relationship with God. He is, as it says in John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything. He is the gift who entered the darkness on a normal night 2,000 or plus years ago as a very fragile little infant. But he is the God that is so loving and so powerful that he stretched out his arms and went to a cross to pay a price that you or I couldn't pay to give us hope. That we weren't condemned for all eternity in our own sin, but that he had liberated us from that. As we celebrate this gift of Jesus this Christmas, I hope that we would each be filled with true hope and joy and peace and love in Christ. Why? Because what God intends is, he says, for us to live at the fullest. So as we, another year, and we come to the end of Advent, right? Advent closes off, but a new journey begins. And I'd really encourage you from tonight forward for the next 364 days to look at this next season of your life as a season of worship. That you would receive these, in worship, you would receive these gifts, right? Because if you deny gifts, if somebody hands you a gift, right, and you say, nah, sorry, right? I'm too good for that, right? That's not worship, that's denial. But an act of worship of receiving the gifts, but then we respond to that by worshiping him throughout the entire year. Just like Mary, just like Joseph, just like the wise men, the angels, the shepherds, we come back to him and we rejoice and we call him what he is, Emmanuel, God with us. Tonight, as we close with a final song, you're going to hold a light, or we'll all light and hold a candle. As we're doing that, remember that the light, Scripture says, has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. And he came not just to put on a show. He came trying to reach you, extending hope, extending love, extending peace, and extending joy. This Christmas, remember, the light is trying to reach you. Will you receive God's gift, his one and only Son, the one that was born as a little tiny baby to set you free? Will you give your heart to him this Christmas in worship? It was a miracle that happened 2,000 some odd years ago in a place called Bethlehem. Will you experience this miracle?